Now we come to chapter 17, and we come here actually to the fourth burden now. The fourth burden is the burden of Damascus. Now, Damascus was the capital of Syria and still is, by the way. And you have here really the burden of Damascus and Ephraim in the immediate future and the far-off future. Actually, what you have here is the nation of Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel, and at that time they were lined up together. They were allied together, and more often came together to come down against the kingdom of Judah. And Damascus was the leading city of Syria. And you have here in chapter 17, now verse 1, the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Damascus and her ally, Ephraim, which are the 10 tribes in the north. Now let's look at these names for just a moment. Damascus was the capital and leading city of Syria in that day, just as it is today. It has been called the oldest living city in the world. Well, I've been to several places that make that same claim. You go to, actually, to Greece, way up above Corinth in the Peloponnesus, the city of Menelaus and Agamemnon, that Mycenaean civilization that actually was the beginning of Greek civilization, and they tell you that's the oldest place. However, there's not much around there today to call it a town or a city. A good Greek restaurant there, but that's about all. And then I've been to Jericho, and there is a sign when you make the turn down at the Jordan to go over to Jericho. It says so many kilometers over to Jericho, the world's oldest city. So I guess that about every place has the world's oldest city. I've been waiting for my native state of Texas to come up with that also. We've done pretty well with getting everything else in that great state. Why not have the oldest city? And I'm sure that they'll dig it up there somewhere someday. Well, Damascus has a good claim to it, by the way. It was Vitringo who wrote, "Damascus has been destroyed oftener than any other town. It rises again from ashes," and we'll see that. Now, Damascus means Syria. Now, Ephraim is the name of a tribe of Israel. It's the name of a city. It's the name of a mountain. It's the name of a man. And it refers to the 10 tribes, the 10 northern tribes. That's one of the words used instead of Israel, several of the prophets. We will find that Hosea uses that expression, Ephraim. And Ephraim is like a heifer that goes backwards. Well, here it's used to represent the 10 northern tribes, which are ordinarily called Israel. Now, here you have the burden of Damascus. And Damascus is to be taken away from being a city. It shall be a ruinous heap. Now, there have been those that say, well, look, this is not fulfilled. Well, I think candidly that, as we have said, that there is a far-off fulfillment of all of these prophecies, and I think there's a local fulfillment, too. Now, somebody said, then how would you understand this? Well, I feel that there are two possible explanations that certainly make sense to me. The first one is that historians are not always accurate. In fact, who was it that wrote the profound history not long ago and then made the statement that the biggest lies in the world have been historians? Well, historians haven't always been accurate in saying that this is the oldest city. That is, the original city of Damascus, because in that area there happened to be many ruins of a city. And actually, any one of these ruins could have been old Damascus and probably was. Damascus is like a great many of the ancient cities, that when it was destroyed in one place, they didn't always build on the ruins of that place. They shifted it over and built it somewhere else. Certain cities they could not or would not because of the fact they were sacred to the people. Jerusalem is one like that. It'd been lots easier to have gone over on the Mount of Olives and rebuilt Jerusalem at the time of Nehemiah, but they didn't do it because of the fact that so much that was sacred was connected with the old city. I don't think that was true of Damascus, and so we just leave it to the archaeologist. He hasn't yet come up with the answer of which one of those ruins will probably have been the oldest city. That's one explanation. And then the other is that it is the oldest city, and it has withstood the ravages of war, and it has never ceased being a city, although it shifted locations. It is probably the oldest city in the world, but that city which has survived every catastrophe that's come upon this earth, and especially upon that land that has seen army after army march through them, it managed to survive, but it will not survive during the Great Tribulation period. It will be destroyed, and as the writer says here, it will cease being a city. It shall become a ruinous heap. And I believe that actually both of these are accurate, and both of these are true statements and certainly fulfill the prophecy. They're quite adequate to fulfill it. Now he says in verse 2, the cities of Ophir are forsaken. They shall be for flocks which lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Now, I probably ought to go back and give you another pronunciation of that. The cities of Aroer, Aroer, are forsaken. And let's settle for Aroer. They are forsaken, and they're going to be as flocks. Now, this was a suburban area near Damascus. The entire area would be destroyed. Now, that probably has happened in Damascus in the past. Will happen again, of course. And we find, verse 3, the fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, the northern kingdom of Israel must bear her share of the burden of Damascus, or the judgment, because of the alliance that they have. Now, we are told in 2 Kings that both were besieged by Tiglath-Pileser, and they were finally both deported by the Assyrian Shalmaneser, and that's in 2 Kings 17:6. Now, this certainly was a partial fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, and as far as many are concerned, it's the total fulfillment. I say that all of this is looking even to a future day. But we certainly have a partial fulfillment. And oftentimes, you find that in the Word of God. In other words, God's letting you know it's going to be fulfilled. Now, what we have in the remainder of this is that the judgment is going to be carried out. And I'm not going into detail here because we need to gain just a little momentum now. Verse 10, though. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation. Now, he's talking here to the northern kingdom. And hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shall set it with strange slips. And what you have here is this. I think that it is something that was literally fulfilled. But it does have a spiritual application, as all of this does. It's to note how this land in our day has been planted with pleasant plants and slips. I had the privilege of setting out 5 trees up in the land of Israel. In fact, in the tribe of Issachar, there between Haifa and Nazareth. And the forests of the cedars of Lebanon have almost been removed, but there are many trees in that land, and the Mount of Olives was covered in that day with them. The enemy removed them. Actually, while the Turks controlled Palestine, they exacted a tax on trees. And so the few trees that were left, the people cut them down, and practically all the land was denuded of all greenery. Now, after World War I, England began a movement to plant trees in that land. And the present government of Israel has continued this policy, and literally millions of trees have been set out. Now, there are many of you folk that have seen my message. That is, when I say see it, because it's an illustrated message on what time is it on God's clock. And I go into this particular part, the way that land has been reforested. And yet, I do not believe that's the fulfillment of other scriptures